Hi, welcome to wilsonlailing.com. This is our ministry equipping website. We specially design leadership podcasts like this so that it may help you in your leadership ministry. If you like what you've seen, you like what you hear, share with your friends. That would be truly tremendous. Today, I want to share with us on a very special topic, which I call the leader's gods. I wonder if a question was posed to our hearts, which goes, will your real God please stand up? How will our heart respond? Will it be Christ or something else? These gods, of course, are that which we worship, whom or what we give great heart, allegiance to, or alignment to, and maybe even comparable to or above Christ. Those gods become our master, exerting a dominance upon our lives that we cannot easily shake off. Jesus astutely brought about this observation in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. This is what he said. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And so in his specific statement, money could become a god in our hearts. Now we may assume that leaders being more committed and devoted to Christ and his cause would have much less problems in this area. Unfortunately, Christian leaders are no more exempt from idolatry in our hearts than any other believers. In recent years, we have seen well-known Christian leaders fall from grace due to some significant, deplorable personal feelings. Shockingly, some have even left the faith. So as spiritual leaders, our connection, our commitment to God is essential, fundamental to our effectiveness in spiritual leadership. Our availability and obedience to God is linchpin. Yet the presence of those other gods corrupts, weakens, and may eventually destroy our leadership and even self. So let me elaborate today further on several ways in which this can occur. Now, the first aspect I'm going to share today is about whether we are master or being mastered. You see, the devil works overtime to disguise these gods in the covert operation that seeks to undermine our hearts and our ministries. Now, we may think we are in control, that we're in charge of these urges, when the reality is opposite. These urges may be in more control than we acknowledge. Have you considered those coffee morning pickups that we cannot do without, or those sugar boosts that we crave? This may seem like trivial examples, but what about those gaming adrenaline rush that we get, or even ministry adrenaline pump that we desire so much? Are we beginning to live for such boosts in our lives, whether it be coffee or alcohol, food, gaming, social media, or even ministry? If we cannot function without it, then it is likely becoming an addiction. If we cannot switch it off without experiencing withdrawal symptoms, then it is in control of us. If we are not its master, it is likely master over us. Any addiction is evidence of a god in our hearts. It competes for our devotion to Christ. Another one is when it goes from being good to God. You know, sometimes we may be deceived in thinking that what we are involved in is good, when in reality it's beginning to rot. Now, my wife and I, we've started gardening and we've enjoyed growing vegetables, fruit trees, flowers. And we soon learned that some plants may look good for a season, but due to a variety of reasons, have been attacked by disease in its roots. Then it starts to rot from the inside out. This can happen in any aspect of our life or ministry. What may have started out good, noble, praiseworthy, admirable, may take on a more sinister hue. Lauren Cunningham, the founder of Youth with a Mission, he shared a story of such a journey in his book, Is That Really You, God? In 1973, Lauren and a team of Y members, they really felt led by God to begin a ship medical ministry to reach out to the island nations. And so with much faith and courage, they found an old ship and began to raise the funds to purchase and to restore it. And having raised the initial deposit, the ship was released for them to begin working on it. And so with great excitement, they all gathered together and began to restore the old ship. And a huge amount of focus was really placed on getting this great project moving on. Then one night, Lauren, he had a strange dream. In the dream, they have managed to fully restore the ship. At the dock, they were sending it off with great fanfare. And as the ship slowly moved from the dock, Lauren noticed a man standing all alone on the dock. Suddenly, it dawned upon him that it was Jesus, forgotten, because all the attention was upon the ship. Lauren woke up with the realization that Youth with a Mission had become so enamored with the ship that they have shifted focus to the ship instead of Jesus. They had subtly turned from the giver to the gift. And God was not pleased, but it was too late. The project started to unravel. They were unable to raise sufficient funds to finalize the purchase of the ship. The result was they lost the ship. It was a big spiritual lesson for Lauren and for YWAM. You see, such shifts can occur quite easily when we begin to take our primary focus of the giver upon the gift itself. What was good may become a god in our hearts. Another area I want to talk about is when dread leads to denial. You see, sometimes we may continue to be in denial of the reality that there's a problem in our hearts. We may refuse to acknowledge the issue because of a secret fear of its potential significance. We may push it away from our minds because it's too complicated to contemplate. Even though we may have detected some warning signs, yet we push forward in hope that perhaps it might fade away miraculously in some way, or that it will not in any way jeopardize our ministry. So our dread of the potential implications can motivate our denial. What is not seen is not felt until it explodes in front of us. We ignore the little God until it gets too big. Another critical area is self over Christ. You see, one of the biggest struggles is usually between ourself and Christ. Our personal desires, our longings, our needs, our ambitions, even self-preservation can often be the biggest stumbling block towards Christ being fully Lord in our lives. Self-preservation can cause us to take steps to protect self over and against obeying God's commands. For example, we read in the Bible, Gideon. Gideon, he could have refused to rise up to lead the Israelites against the Midianites because it places him in harm's way. So we may back off from activities that we think are too risky, despite God's instructions and promise of protection over us. Self-gratification occurs when we become more concerned about our personal happiness, our personal wants or comforts over and against God's agenda. Our overriding concern is what we may get out of it rather than what God's kingdom gets out of it. So like Judas, we may end up betraying God. Another aspect in this is self-promotion. Self-promotion can motivate us to gain more glory than what we actually do for God. We may become more interested in making sure that people know that what we accomplish than making sure that God receives the glory. So we may perhaps insist that we get the top billing in the conference. We may insist on getting the best seat, the best treatment, and so forth. But beware of stealing the glory that should be God's alone. Consider the case of King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. What happened to him when God judged him because of his pride? So, self can be elevated to sit on the throne of our life, dethroning Christ, who should be the rightful king. We may have become our own God. So, how do we keep God on the throne? How then should we deal with those little gods that may be in our hearts? How do we avoid such gods from developing in the first place? How do we keep God on the throne of our lives and ministries? Let me suggest a few keys. The first thing is to know that proximity promotes purity. See, how do we keep our hearts pure? How do we keep in the right place before God? Well, the closer we keep to God, the more aware we become of any impurity that may be in our hearts. The more intimate our relationship with God, the more His holiness will reveal sin in our hearts. Just as the prophet Isaiah, when he had that vision of the thrice holy God, and he was immediately painfully aware of his own sinfulness. In Isaiah chapter 6 verse 5, he cried out, "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Wow, it really hit him at that point in time. And I can affirm this from my own experience relating with God. You see, for the clearer that we hear from the Holy Spirit, the clearer the holy convictions will be placed upon our hearts. And that process can be painful, but also liberating. The little gods will be exposed in such a deepening relationship with God. You see, an intimate relationship with God will also keep us centered on what is holy, godly, gracious, compassionate. Though really, we tend to become like whom we admire and worship. So if you keep close to God, that's what's going to draw you towards a more godly character. When our relationship with God is skewed, it's off-center, when we lose the North Star and veer off-track, instead of being molded by God towards His ideal, we steer ourselves or allow the devil to veer us further and further off-track. And the further off-track we go, the easier it is for those little gods to take root and gain dominance. Another thing that will help us is when there's a healthy fear, and you will develop a healthy soul. You see, there's a popular view today that sees our relationship with God in this way. It says, well, Jesus is our buddy and God is our dear Father. Now, such perspectives are correct and should be encouraged, but it should never be forgotten that God is still King and Judge. There are those different aspects of our relationship with God and needs to be held in proper tension. So we should really maintain that reverent fear of God, because He will hold us accountable for our thoughts and our actions. And so having such a healthy fear before God will keep us more alert towards compromises with sin in our own hearts. And so we will be far less inclined to excuse our weaknesses and sins. We will be more ruthless to weed out those little gods. Our soul will be far healthier. Another aspect is humility. Humility is the best policy. Pride is an insidious disease of our hearts, probably the greatest killer of a leader's life and ministry. Pride, it blinds us to those little gods creeping into our lives. Pride blocks out concerned voices seeking to warn us. Pride leads to overconfidence that we can overcome any little gods that seek to creep into our hearts. Now, I'm not going to delve any deeper on this aspect, but you can refer to one of my previous podcasts, Why We Need Deep Humility. There, I lay out in greater detail the reasons why we need deep humility and some key steps on how we may develop it. But the last aspect I'll mention is accountability. You see, we need accountability. Because it is those around us who are able to observe and take note if there are some little gods popping up in our lives. They can warn us about signs that maybe we're going on the wrong track. We may not notice such things, or perhaps we may be living in denial. And that's why giving others the right to speak openly about our lives is going to make a significant difference to help us along the journey. Let me conclude by saying today and ask ourselves this question. Do we have little gods in our hearts? Well, let's rid ourselves of all of this so that God may be fully enthroned in our lives and our ministry. Then God will be able to use you and work through you in greater, more powerful ways. God bless you.
We trust you've been blessed by the word today. Do visit www.wilsonlyling.com for more messages and teachings. For the latest news and updates, follow Facebook and Instagram, wilson.lyling.